All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
I am ready.
Are you, you're super ready today.
I'm ready. I'm just, I don't need to be hyperbolic about it. I'm just saying I'm ready.
I mean, I had a feeling you were going to be ready when we were putting the notes together.
Yeah.
Like, at the same time, writing over top each other in our Google Drive.
It was crazy. Awesome. That was awesome. I want to start off, it's not a news story.
Oh.
But I put it in the news section because I didn't know where else to put it.
Okay.
We're doing a live podcast January 19th at Zotropolis. Super excited about that. But I know at the beginning of that episode, you're going to ask me, are you ready? And I want to be ready. So in the spirit of being ready, I've begun combing through my top 10.
Oh my gosh.
For 2019. And it's a pretty great list. I'm looking back at some great movies, and I'm going to rewatch them all.
You're going to rewatch all 10 of those movies?
I'm going to try. Because, I mean, aren't most of them available at home?
Probably, yeah.
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 Here's what I wanted to say. Brie Larson as Captain Marvel. She was great.
Was that 2019?
Wasn't it?
I don't think so. That's 2018.
Is that why it feels like it was so long ago?
I'm pretty sure. Because last year, 2019 was Avengers and Spider-Man.
Avengers, Spider-Man, and Captain Marvel.
So Captain Marvel was real early then.
What's up?
Oh boy.
Who knows his Marvel now?
Oh my gosh.
So when I say, remember Brie Larson, obviously you don't.
I don't. Never heard of her.
Where are you going to put Spideyverse? I can't wait. Don't answer.
Wait,
I just
know the Spider-Verse was this year too?
No, I mean, I'm sorry, not Spideyverse. Far From Home. Where are you going to put Far From Nugan?
Farfanugan.
Spider-Man Farfanugan.
Okay, that's his new name.
Taking product placement to a whole new level. The folks at Volkswagen have renamed the movie Spider-Man Farfanugan. I mean, that's got to be up there for you, right?
It's going to land.
Yeah,
it's definitely going to land.
Top 10?
Probably.
I have it in my top 10. It's not going to be in my top 5.
It might not be in my top 5.
Yeah. I'm not making a statement. I'm just putting a possibility out there.
Oh.
It's possible there's not a Marvel movie in my top 5.
I just dropped my pen. What?
What?
You're telling me that Avengers Endgame with the Tony snap doesn't make top 5? Top 5? Okay, maybe not top 1. Top 5?
It's probably going to be...
Greta. Because you're going to forget when you put it under the first one. Did I see Greta? It's at least a 2. Did I see Greta? Like, it's at least a 3.
Did I see Avengers?
Get out. All right.
No.
Don't spoil it.
I didn't make a statement. I just said, as I play around with the list, there are some scenarios. Now, if you have a good list, a proper list, then you should work through it. It's not just what I've done in years past. True confessions. What I have done in years past, when I had nobody to do this with, when I was just flying alone.
Staring at the mirror.
Right, with nobody to hold me accountable or challenge my bullshit. What I would do is sit down and quick name the 10 movies that I liked. And that would be how I came up with my list. But this year, it's all different.
Yeah.
For the last 50 weeks, I've been watching movies, talking about them, expressing opinions. So here we are. Here we are with our pinkies out, and I'm going to have a proper top 10 list.
Oh, man,
so look
crazy.
Out.
All right. All right.
I don't know where to put Endgame. I loved it.
Well, but I don't know where you're going to put it. It's not on your top five.
But I just want to say also, Brie Larson as Captain Marvel in 2019 was amazing.
Yeah.
She's great.
She's pretty great.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, let's get into the news. Talk to me. Talk to me, Goose. That comes later. Right.
Speaking of New Mutants.
Exactly.
Right? So it's getting a new trailer tomorrow, the 6th.
What is?
New Mutants. The movie that should have come out. It was slated to come out in 2018.
2016?
Yeah, 2014. Yeah. And it has a release date of April 3rd. So Disney has decided to push this through and put it out. For what reason? I have no clue. But this is another thing that goes with it. The director said he was questioned on Twitter if this was going to be his original vision of the film, because they did two sets of reshoots, supposedly.
Right.
And he said, I wouldn't be promoting it if it wasn't.
Oh.
So, now, what does that mean? That either means, A, it's the original cut of the film, and that reshoots either didn't happen or were scrapped after they happened, or B, the reshoots happened and he is now okay with whatever they changed and just was just going along with it.
Or C,
oh,
he's outright lying.
That's true too. Whoa.
Stop.
People would lie on Twitter.
Not in Hollywood.
Well, I never.
As they say on Full House, how rude.
How rude.
Paul Anderson is currently in talks to play Moriarty's frequent ally, Sebastian Moran. That can't be right.
Moran. It's got to be Moran.
Moran.
Yeah.
Sebastian Moran in the third Sherlock Holmes movie starring Robert Downey Jr. But the real story here, there's a new Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I felt like we knew that. Am I wrong?
It's one of those things that they've been talking about since the last one, of course. But it's been so long. I mean, I think it's kind of fallen off believability.
I'm on board for a new Sherlock.
Sure.
I want to see the new Doolittle movie. I want to see Doolittle and see how good he is. Judge him.
Well, what do you mean how good he is? I mean, he is good outside of Iron Man. He's been, when he's done stuff, Sherlock's
were fun. Oh my God, I love him.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
What?
Oh, that was Johnny Depp.
What just happened?
I got my pretty boys mixed up.
I didn't even have a smart remark because I was like,
what? What about Robert Downey Jr. as Jack Sparrow?
Robert Downey Jr. as Johnny Depp. Right. As Jack Sparrow.
I have to be completely, I totally got them mixed up. And I'm a big fan of both of them. It's not like I casually, you know.
Are you sure it's not casual?
Like, it's not like the Hemsworth brothers where I don't even know who's who.
You don't know who Liam and Chris are.
Right.
Yeah.
One of them's Thor. The other one's not, you know. Or who are the ones? Skarsgård and the Sarsgård mess.
Don't ask me which ones of those are.
No, I know the difference between these two guys. But I totally, when we were sitting here and I saw this in the thing about Sherlock Holmes, I immediately pictured Pirates of the Caribbean. Womp, womp.
I wish I would have been smart enough to play along and just wait for Pirate Dave to just like for the obituary to come up in the paper. Pirate Dave died when he heard them getting them confused.
I don't think it's fair to say I got them confused.
What would you call it? Transpose?
Stupidity? No. I don't know. What do you call it? Mental breakdown? I mean, it wouldn't be the first.
I feel like these aren't getting better descriptions for you. So anyway, Robert Downey Jr. has done decent stuff outside of Iron Man, obviously.
Besides Pirates?
I want to say since Iron Man. Besides Pirates and Alice in Wonderland.
Mm.
And
now wait a minute,
Sweeney Todd.
Don't try to sneak that by me. Come on.
Edward Scissorhands, he was great.
Great in 21 Jump Street.
So anyway, I think we're both agreeing we want to see.
See, now this
Sherlock
is the kind
Creed.
Of thing, though. Like, now that you've done it, you've done it.
It's going to be hard.
And I'm never going to be able to correctly name them for the rest of my life. Someday I'm going to be on this show going. Wait. I'm going to be going, Johnny Depp was great as Iron Man.
Why are you blaming it on me now? Come on.
That's what I do best. Blame stuff on you.
Clearly. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Can I walk you through some Irishmen?
Please.
Speaking of my top 10 list. Oh, but I digress. So in The Irishman, did you see it?
No.
Okay. The Irishman, the main character, is the body man to Jimmy Hoffa.
Right.
And the movie was written based on a book that the real life guy wrote. This was an incredibly solid book. This was researched, autobiographical interviews. It was written by a policeman slash lawyer, like a legit guy. Like, this was researched. This was a real, very credible book.
Yeah.
That the movie, why are you grinning?
No.
it was a very credible book. The Irishman was bodyguard or, you know, body man to Jimmy Hoffa. Jimmy Hoffa's stepson is Chucky.
The doll.
I'm sorry, not stepson. Jimmy Hoffa's foster son is Chucky.
The doll.
The doll. the real life stepson of the foster son has taken to the world to claim this whole movie is high fiction and that Chucky and Mr. Hoffa did none of the horrible things that the movie claims to have done.
What?
I would like to introduce you to this week's segment of dramatic reading.
Please.
Because I read this story and I was like, all right, whatever. This guy thinks, you know, he's trying to protect his family's history. But his quote was so eloquent, I thought to myself,
oh my word,
this needs to be read
dramatically
with dramatic effect.
Okay, bring it in.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hang on, let me get my pinky out.
I thought you were gonna make the zipper noise with your zipper.
Yep, I got my zipper up, my pinky's out. Chucky's innocence in one of the most notorious crimes of the 20th century remains mostly hidden. His guilt remains presumed. His honor remains soiled. Thank you very much.
Wow. Wow. Whoa. I mean, Abe Lincoln just got a run for his money.
Move over, Abe.
Yeah.
We're not impressed.
Not with a speech like this.
So anyway, this kid, he doesn't like what they're saying about his family. And apparently he's got a gift for gab, so good for him. He should get into politics. Follow the family footsteps.
Should he get into politics?
Speaking of politics,
yeah.
Todd Phillips. He had this movie, speaking of my top 10 list.
Joker.
Uh-huh. Joker, we all agreed, was amazing.
Right.
And everybody associated with the movie has been consistently saying there's no sequel coming. They deviated, but they came back, right?
Right. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
For a minute, they were like, we'd love to see it.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, maybe not.
So I totally think that door remains open, even though they've all publicly said that it's shut.
Right.
With that being said, he made an interesting interview, which is nothing more. I think I wrote in the notes, it's just talk. It's not real news. It's just talk, but it's kind of fun. So he was out at Sundance or some film festival, Todd Phillips was. And he gave an interview. He was doing an interview, I think, with Variety, but I might have that wrong. And he was saying he thinks it would be cool to see a Batman come out of the Joker universe. This
really?
Is different from the 2021 The Batman.
Right. This would be...
This would be a whole nother Batman.
A Batman where the Joker origin took place when he was a child.
Right.
And he may or may not be related
right.
to the Joker.
The Joker. I think that would be really cool. I think anything that comes out of the Albert Fleck and the Flecktones movie would be fantastic.
Fuck the Flecktones.
It was December 31st, 1991.
Uh-huh.
Go on.
More, please.
It was December 31st, 1991 in Oakland, California. Mm-hmm. Yours truly was in the Oakland Coliseum.
Whoa.
Anxiously awaiting the arrival of the Grateful Dead.
Have you ever seen them in concert before?
Once or twice. While I was waiting, they decided to have some entertainment for our pleasure.
Oh.
What you would typically call a show opener.
Oh.
The opener that evening, 12/31/91, was one Bela Fleck with his band, the Flecktones. Bela Fleck may or may not be the inspiration for Albert Fleck, or Arthur Fleck, I mean.
He probably is.
I mean, must be, right? See.
It's too close of a resemblance.
Right. I mean, the Flecktones, my God. And he started out his concert by saying, has anybody here ever heard psychedelic banjo? That's when I went looking for the concession stand. I was like, maybe I'll have a hot dog.
I think I have to go somewhere.
This would be a good time for something to eat.
So, all right. So back to this Batman thing.
It's nothing. I'm just saying.
Do you want to see it, though?
I would totally see it. 100%.
You would see it, but do you want to see it?
Yes, I do. Well, here's my, you know what my problem is?
What's your problem with Batman?
I got a problem. It's a small problem, but it's real.
Okay.
It's a problem. My problem is, this is my problem. My problem is.
Do you have a problem?
There's two.
What could your problem be?
I'm trying to tell you my problem.
Oh, I didn't realize you had a problem.
I do. I have a problem. This is my problem.
I'm waiting to find out what your problem is here.
I'll tell you my problem.
Okay.
With pen. I do also have a lot of problems with pen. You're not alone. If you have problems with me, just get in line. And I'm in line with you. Yeah. We'll all stay in line.
It's like a party.
The line will wrap around the block. It'll be a regular blockbuster. Okay, here's my problem.
Yeah.
I love Batman.
Yeah.
One of my favorite characters. I love most all the Batman movies for one way or another. I'm not saying they've all been great.
Right.
I don't love the Ben Affleck ones, including the ones he did with Superman and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm always game for more Batman.
Right.
My problem is, I feel like, let's not start talking about new Batman franchises on top of while we're waiting for a new Batman franchise. You know what I mean? Like,
what?
How many different Batman threads? Do you feel this way? I wonder if you feel this way not only with Batman, but also with your favorite guy, the Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that's part of the reason why I hate the Venom stuff so much.
Oh my God.
I didn't want to bring it up.
I was trying to go one episode.
It's 2020. And you had to dig it up.
Might as well get on the board. David hates Venom.
It's been a year.
Guess what? There's more Venom coming.
Damn it. So, I mean, that's the same type of thing. Like, it's a different universe, but I think it's confusing for audiences. When they do that, it's difficult to keep track unless it's incredibly distinctly different, which in Spider-Man's cases, I feel like people won't be able to tell. But Batman, maybe they could. I mean, the Joker universe was very different. It's very grounded and real, and there's no...
Right.
At this point, there's no powers or anything like that. I don't know if I want this movie, though.
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep. And the thing is, well, I guess I was just going to say something, but I guess it's not true. I wish the Batman was sooner. Like, I don't want this movie on top of the Batman.
Right.
Give one room to breathe before you start speculating about another.
Here's an idea. They do the Robert Battenbatt movie.
Batty Bats.
They do his movie. And then 10 years down the road, they do Batman from the Arthur universe. And it's been, and here, look, it's been long enough that Joaquin Phoenix no longer can play the Joker in the same way. So we don't have to worry about.
But here's the essence of my, I can't tell if you're trying to be funny or if you think
that's
like.
So then it's not like just constantly Joker movies.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's a valid point. But here's the real problem with that. Let's think positively for one moment and say that Bobby Batts's Batman movie is going to be great.
It might be.
Okay, let's just assume, for the purposes of the conversation, let's say it's great. Don't we want another one?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Wait till his are done. So he does
that's
2, 3, 4,
that's
2 or whatever.
Years, that's 3 years. That's 4 years. That's 2026.
You wait another 10 years.
Yeah, I just don't have that many minutes to wait.
There's lots of trailers I can send you. Fill it up.
I got to work through Dune.
Oh my gosh.
We're in 2020. The clock is ticking.
It's coming.
It's, you know what's so weird?
11 months away.
December of 2020 is like 5 minutes away. We're going to be listening to this right now as I talk.
Yeah.
I'm listening to this in December of 2020.
You're really stretching to get these time things in here, aren't you?
All right. Give me some Kevin Feige stuff.
Okay. Kevin Feige.
Feige?
Yeah. He clarified that Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is not going to be a horror movie, but it'll be a big MCU universe with scary sequences in it. Which is, I think when they said this would be the most horror Marvel film, that's what I expected. I didn't think they were going to go straight horror.
Right.
I mean, none of their movies are great, but none of them are like too far off the beaten path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're not like, I don't know. I mean, maybe when they bring Deadpool in, that'll be the one that's like really off the beaten path, but none of them really are too far of what you would expect from a Marvel movie. Not like they're not good or anything, because they're all, I love them, but it's like none of them get too harsh or are too soft, I think.
Correct me if my memory is wrong, but
it's never been yet.
I mean, at some point I'm going to get something wrong. I mean,
maybe
the day may come. So brace yourself. But wasn't the scene in the first Deadpool when he sort of became whoever he is, wasn't that scary as hell? I kind of remember, or am I thinking of a different movie?
You mean when he was on fire?
Yeah. And isn't he tortured?
Intense.
Isn't he like in some kind of experimental thing? And
yeah, they like suffocate him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just as he's about to like die, then he gets oxygen, and then it's just like constantly at that level of almost dying.
That was incredibly scary. I mean,
intense.
Okay, yeah. That's the better word. That is the better word. But so my thing is like, all right, I guess I'm agreeing with you by saying let's not create a false conversation around a horror movie. Marvel has been scary / intense at moments before.
No.
It's not the first time.
What we're talking about here is cinematic Marvel Universe. Deadpool's not really, not like that was Fox.
Okay, but.
So those are not. Avengers MCU.
All right, that's a fair distinction. Okay, I guess I was.
The Fox stuff, yeah, that's definitely. And then New Mutants is coming out, and that is 100% a horror film, apparently.
Is it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a horror film. So, I mean,
is it coming out?
It's a horror that the film.
It's a horrible film. When we say horror film, we mean horrible. I gotta reach out. I bumped into Pirate Dave.
Oh,
and I forget what movie we were talking about, as per usual. But we were talking about a movie that we both are. I forget if I said, does it look like it's bad or does it look unoriginal? And his comment was like, don't pigeonhole it. It was both. I feel like that's where we're headed with New Mutants.
Yeah. But was the movie the one, I saw the trailer for it last night at Uncut Gems. It was like I can't even remember what it was called. I was like, this looks horrible. The guy is an ex-con, but he's an FBI informant. But then he uncovers an undercover cop. And
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, man, it looked horrible. I don't even remember what it was called. Yeah. It was so bad.
Speaking of The Grudge.
No. Oh. And grudges.
Speaking of horrible movies.
Yeah.
Sequels to The Grudge are planned for different time periods and continents. Like,
yeah.
Why?
I don't know. The director thinks it's got legs.
I wonder if this is a marketing thing. Like, I wonder if by him speculating about other spinoffs or other takes, he's trying to lend some credibility to his
version?
Piece of shit.
So you liked the movie? maybe.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of saying, or she, or whoever it is, I don't know. The director is saying, hey, I had a vision. Now anyone can come with a vision at this, and we can make crazy spin-offs that are basically the exact same movie in different houses all around the world. Why not? Doesn't have to be Japan every time.
But that would work if your movie was good.
The first, like the Japanese Grudge, the old one, that's good.
You know what? I'm gonna go watch this movie.
The one that's out right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Because if I'm going to say all this horrible stuff about it, I better darn well go watch the thing.
You talk a lot of talk, Ben.
Are you choosing whether to talk about my talk or to comment on my use of the word darn? Because I saw your wheels turning.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how I could incorporate the marbles on the table into my conversation. Quite honestly. But my thing here is, so now you're going to go see The Grudge, which can certainly not be in theaters for very much longer, right?
About 5 minutes.
Right, right. So you've got 5 minutes to see The Grudge.
Right. Which I will watch while I'm on my phone working.
And it's the fourth.
Right.
So you have 15 days to watch 10 movies, and you just added another one. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, cool, cool, cool. I believe it. All right, Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Right. He says Mallrats, the sequel. It's happening. It's back on. Do you believe this?
Yeah, I totally do. I'm tempted to be super snarky about it.
Isn't this on and off like all the time though?
Yeah. I'm tempted to be super snarky about it, but when I look at the last 12 months of Kevin Smith's life and what he has done, it's pretty impressive.
What has he done?
Well, he survived that heart attack or whatever at the end of 2018 and then came back and like got super healthy, changed his diet completely, had all these great, he got a Hollywood Walk of Fame, got his star. I don't know. I'm not his number one fan. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him. It's not really my number one thing, but I just have to say, I appreciate in a way that I appreciate Tom Cruise or some of these, or even like Sylvester Stallone, and people criticize people like that for, you know, oh, they just keep repackaging their same old stuff. Well, that's kind of like criticizing Bruce Springsteen because a song he wrote in 2019 sounds like a song he wrote in 1989, which may or may not be true, but an artist is an artist. They're always going to have,
right,
you know, their stylings, they're always going to have this certain muse that they've been blessed with their whole life. Why would the muse look and sound any different? Look at Scorsese's movie, The Irishman is amazing. If you don't dig into it, it looks a lot like Goodfellas. It looks a lot like Casino, you know, but they're obviously different pieces of work, different movies, different ideas. And even though I'm not Kevin Smith, he's not like my top of my list of favorite directors or whatever. He's obviously a talented guy. He's had an incredible year. And if he wants to, if at this point he is saying Mallrats, the sequel is on, God bless him. Let's see it.
Do you think it hits theaters?
Yeah.
Because I would have thought Jay and Silent Bob would have hit theaters.
I think I'm going to have to do a little research. I think Jay and Silent Bob had the opportunity to hit some theaters. Was it a Fathom event? Dave will write in.
It might have been.
I know that
it pretty much went straight to Vaughn.
I think we had it. I think it went.
It showed here.
I don't know. I don't remember. But I think it was a Fathom event. Dave, write in and tell us. Okay. But I do think Mallrats will, one way or another, end up in theaters.
Okay.
Either as a special event type of a thing, which is what I think the reboot was here.
Okay.
As a Fathom event, I could be totally wrong on that.
Yeah. If anything, it would have been a Fathom event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not here as a regular title. But I think it was here as a Fathom event. But I might be totally making that up.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, there's one last thing on here that you put on here. So let's hear what you got to say.
Well, I'm just saying, very grateful for for the last 50 weeks. And I wonder, so I put on here, the Golden Globes are tonight.
Yeah.
Golden Globes are tonight. By the time you're listening, it was last night. That's what that's where I started with these notes. But then that got me thinking about the Golden Globes. And so just to sort of remind everybody where we are with the calendar, the Golden Globes are tonight, the beginning of January. The Oscar nominations are later this month in January 22nd. And then the Oscars themselves are February 9th, about a month from now, give or take. So I look at this awards season, and when I wrote this in the show notes, I wrote my typically snarky comment, who cares? Right? Because I'm so used to, for so many years, all my favorite movies never get,
Right.
But now it's different. I feel totally invested in this. And I don't know if it's just because of the podcast that we're doing or if it's because it's been a really great year for movies or both or whatever. But I wrote on the show notes, do we care? And my answer is yes. I'm really excited. I don't really care about watching the show, although I will watch it, but I'm really interested to see who wins, see what happens, and see how that affects the Oscars.
Okay. So,
if at all.
I don't know. The Golden Globes are always kind of like, I look at the results, but I never get excited for it.
Yeah.
But I agree. You think of being on the pulse of movies, and especially, I mean, in your situation, you're always on the pulse of movies. But then doing a show like this where we talk about them and we take time to like create thoughts about that we might normally not think about or look into some news that we normally wouldn't think about.
Or get notes from listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been really interesting, really informed a lot of my opinions.
Yeah. Or even just some of the movies we've watched, I think we wouldn't have watched.
Right.
Normally, or we would have thought, maybe someday.
Right.
But and that just really amps up, your interest because you know about the stuff.
Yeah.
It just like secondhand knowledge of the things. Yeah. But I don't think that I'll watch it. I mean, I'll definitely read the results tomorrow. You full on watch them?
I do. And then I usually fall asleep.
Okay.
Like while I'm watching them.
Yeah. I just get bored.
Yeah.
At some of the award shows. Sometimes I've been like fully invested and other years, the last couple times I've tried, I've just been kind of like,
well, the Oscars are worse because what they do is they use up all this time with stupid sketches and skits and jokes that nobody cares about and are not funny.
Yeah.
And then you get a legend up there accepting her award for best actress.
Right.
And then you give her 10 seconds or 30 seconds and then you got to cue her off the stage. Like, it's just so ridiculous. Like, if you're going to like, let it play out. Like, it's so scripted and so produced. It's overproduced.
Right.
That's the problem.
And it's like 4 hours.
Yeah. Right?
So long.
I don't even care if it's 4 hours. Let it be 6 hours. Like, just cover it like a live event.
Oh.
And maybe some years it'll move faster and some years it'll move slower. But I think it would be a hell of a lot more interesting if it was covered like a live event.
Yeah. Okay. Are they actually tonight or was it pre-recorded?
I think they're tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So anyway, I believe that's all the news that's fit to print.
Yeah. We're going to move into trailers. And we spoke earlier about Doolittle. And there's a new Doolittle trailer that came out a few days ago. Here's what I have to say about this. I'm really interested in this movie. And I like this trailer, but it's only slightly different than the trailer we had. It's the same music. Some of the scenes are exactly at the same beat. I feel like the first trailer, which I guess is technically a teaser, was so well put together, got me really excited. This one doesn't make me as excited as the teaser did, but it also it shows more of like the computer animated stuff that I think they must not have had done when they made the other trailer.
The dragon?
Yeah. And there's the dragon at the end, which I'm like,
oh.
Isn't that kind of that just feels like a huge spoiler type thing.
It's a huge spoiler. It's a huge stretch. It's totally inconsistent, I think,
yeah,
with my memory of Doolittle. As a child, I read the story and had the picture books and stuff. And
same.
I don't remember any dragons. Were there dragons?
I don't remember any dragons.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Johnny Depp looks great in this.
There's a callback.
What about the Gretel and Hansel trailer? Gretel and Hansel, the new horror movie slated for release, I don't know, next couple of weeks, I think.
What are your here's what I thought. The other trailers we thought it looked grim and gross, and I wasn't interested.
Right.
It still looks grim and gross, but it looks like a different story than the normal Hansel and Gretel story. This alludes that the witch or whatever she's called, I can't remember what her name is. She has one. Is trying to recruit Hansel, right? That's the girl?
The girl.
Recruit the girl into becoming a witch like her. She sees power in her.
The only thing left to do is make him delicious.
Delicious. Yeah. What's the name of the actress that plays?
I have no idea.
She was in the Dune miniseries.
When I was done watching this trailer, I heard your voice saying, go on.
Go on.
Tell me more. And I think what I loved most about this trailer was pretty early in the trailer when they show the witch. It's such a, and probably there's some people who are going to hate this, but I liked it. The people who hated The Force Awakens because it was too much like New Hope.
Okay.
They're going to also hate this. When they first showed the witch, it was almost just a silhouette, and it was the iconic, like, witch's hat. Like, the only thing missing was the broomstick.
Right.
You know what I mean? And It was such an archetypal figure, you know, with the hat and the brim on the hat and the flowing gown, like robes or whatever. It really, to me, sort of called back all the storytelling of every witch, you know, sort of tale that has ever been told. And it reminded me of something that you already know. This is a Grimm fairy tale.
Right.
The Brothers Grimm from Germany. They wrote this stuff in 1812.
Yeah.
That's 200 years of us telling and retelling these stories. I'm fascinated, and I can't think off the top of my head, but this trailer sort of reminded me that there is a reason we keep telling these stories. I don't know what the reason is. I'm not, you know, saying that what the reason is, but I'm just saying, like, we as a people don't continue to tell the story for 200 years if there's not something interesting,
right,
a nugget in there. So this trailer really did it for me in terms of, I'm not a big horror guy, but I will go see this movie.
It got me much more interested. I would say I'm more likely to see it now than I was.
Yeah. So Someday somebody's going to complain to me that Hollywood's out of ideas. And I'm going to be like, yeah, they're telling a story that was written in 1812.
Come on now. Okay, speaking of stories written in 1812, Quiet Place 2 gets a full trailer, unlike the teaser that we had before. Thoughts from...
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it looked scary as hell. I love that Emily Blunt is full-on the lead actor in this movie.
I like the flashbacks of day one.
Yeah.
When, like, they're driving backwards because that bus is coming at them, and then there's no bus driver, and, like, the alien crawls through the window. Like, that was really cool. I was wondering how this story would go. I know I said before, like, what can they do? I kind of like the idea of them on the run and finding other humans and how... I think the line is, anyone still alive is not the type of person you want to be around.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. And they kind of semi-allude that there might be some sort of a safe haven somewhere. So I'm interested. I'm definitely hooked in. Here's one that surprised me. The Climb.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a buddy comedy, but not like I guess we've seen in the past. It's a full-on toxic relationship buddy comedy. Right.
Nobody likes you, Mike. I don't even know why I like you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Mark, or whatever the guy's name is. Yeah.
And the wife is like, we got to cut him out completely. And he's like, but he's my friend.
I can't stand him.
And he's constantly, like, stealing his friend's girl.
Yeah.
But it's so, he tells him, he's like, oh, we're in love. She loves me for me and I love her for her. He's like, I slept with her. And he's like, what? The next scene, like, I guess they must work through it. They see him like making out with this girl, right. I don't know if it's wife or whatever. And he's at the other side of a window. He's like, oh, come on. Yeah. So I think it looks.
I have one tiny problem with this movie. Go ahead. It's whatever. I'm sure it works out. My tiny problem with this is that I can't tell the difference between the two guys.
I think you'll be able to once you see them more consistently.
Yeah.
I think that it won't be the type of humor that that applies to necessarily like broad audiences, but I think people who like dark humor and that kind of stuff will really be drawn to it.
Well, I made a little mental note on Monday to reach out to the guy from Sony Classics. So this morning I sent him an email.
Cool.
And we'll try to get it and play it in Theater One.
Sweet deal.
Yeah.
Sweet deal. Tell me about these. Next one here.
Oh, yeah. The photograph. This was a really... I kind of don't know what this movie's about. It comes out on Valentine's Day. Looks like a beautiful, beautiful love story, but also a drama. And there's also some kind of...
Because love and drama never go together.
Right. No, but there's also drama between, I believe, the main character and her mom.
Oh, maybe I have seen this trailer.
Did we already talk about this? Through flashbacks. And there's there's this great scene that sort of got me on board where the guy's hitting on her.
Yeah.
And she goes, is that your big pickup line? And he's like, well, in my head, it looks a lot smoother. It came out a lot smoother. Did we talk about this already?
I don't know if we talked about it, but I know I've seen the trailer.
You've seen the trailer. Because I saw the trailer for the first time in front of Little Women.
Okay.
So that may be where you've seen the trailer.
It's possible, yeah.
Yeah. But I think this movie looks adorable. That's the wrong word. I think it looks heartfelt. Because
their mother was a writer or something, right?
Yeah.
And she's living under that shadow.
And the boyfriend is somehow like writing an article about the mother. That's how they meet.
Yeah.
I think.
And what was it? What else was it? Like, her mom was so independent that she wants to be independent like her mother.
Right.
And she never learned how to love type thing.
Kind of like Joe March from Little Women.
Exactly like Joe March from Little Women.
The Assistant is a movie coming out. Another kind of like The Climb. It's a Bleecker Street movie. It looks quirky. It looks like a fictional movie with the similar premise as Bombshell, except that I'm led to believe from the trailer that there's some revenge maybe, and that maybe the poor assistant girl sort of seeks her own powers.
Okay.
I think it looks amazing. I made another mental note to Bleecker Street to reach out to them.
I feel like we saw this trailer too.
Did we?
Might have been another one I saw and put on the list.
Or maybe we saw it and I just forgot we saw it.
That's never happened. So what's been going on this week at the theater? It's been another busy holiday week.
Yeah.
We had the first come and go. What's the audience been like?
I mean, just an extension of the holidays. It's really interesting with Christmas and New Year's being in the middle of the week because you get these big surges for Christmas and a big surge New Year's Day, and then all of a sudden it's Friday, Saturday again. So it's kind of hard to judge the flow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. From a business point of view, it's great because people have a lot of days off. People are coming to see movies that maybe they might have otherwise passed on. Mm. You know what I mean? The top three is the same top three that it's always been. Star Wars, Jumanji, Little Women, Frozen is right up there. Spies in Disguise really fell off.
Wow.
I mean, it didn't open big. Kind of reminds me of that Crosby, Stills, and Nash line where, like, the guy introduces the song and he says, we're going to start off real slow and then fizzle out all together. Or like my football coach in high school, he said, you guys may be small, but you're slow. So the two stories that I think are interesting, Uncut Gems is doing like solid business.
Wow.
It's not like crushing. It's not doing big business. It's not, but it's interesting to me that it's also not, it's doing business. I can't believe people are interested in this movie.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch. Right? I mean, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but I'm really impressed of, relatively speaking, it's had good commercial success.
Wow.
Which remains a mystery to me. The other story that has to be told is that we're in January and Frozen is still like among the top titles.
Yeah.
Which just shows you how great, I mean, this movie holds up. This movie's going to continue to, I mean, when's the next kids movie? Not for a while.
I guess. Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have Frozen. Frozen will take a run. 16 weeks is our longest run. Frozen will take a run at that.
Avengers?
No, it was, you're not going to believe this, Bourne Identity.
Whoa.
Just fluky the way that came out. It came out at a time, and it just held forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so how many weeks did you say Frozen's at now?
I think we're at 8 weeks.
Okay, so just double it.
Yeah.
See what's up.
But see, the thing is, we're at 8 weeks and it's still playing like a full schedule.
So it could go that
like
far.
Five or six shows a day.
Wow.
So it'll be clean next week. It'll be matinees the following week, matinees the following week. And then I'm saying it'll probably play a show a day at least. I mean, it easily gets 12 weeks. Let's just put it that way.
Now, are we at the point where you started to slow down Star Wars and bring the other movies back up?
Yeah.
Okay. What's it look like? So the last bit of the holidays, the people are back to work tomorrow,
right,
pretty much. Is it going to be like a crazy big drop off now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just
what'll happen is we'll see a bump in retirees, the old folks who stayed away, like our regular matinee people.
Yeah.
Like they stayed away during the holidays. We'll see all of them back. And then the other interesting thing is we'll start to bring in a wide variety of movies, like a lot of movies. I expect soon. I fully expect tomorrow, especially after the Globes, to start getting information from like, when are they bringing Joker back? When are they bringing Parasite back? When are they bringing, you know, whatever, The Farewell back?
Yig.
You know, some of these movies from earlier in the year.
Get ready for the Oscars type thing. Cool.
So a good time to be a moviegoer, if you ask me.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, it's time to get into Uncut Gems. Mark the Joel codes now.
Can I lead us off on this movie?
Please do.
Because I have a pretty succinct and clear message on this movie.
Yeah.
I love...
What?
I love... I get what you're doing there.
Oh, wait. Are we watching the movie right now?
I get what you're doing there. You're talking over. Yeah. Should I start shouting at you? Yeah. I loved this movie. And what I mean by that is I hated this movie. This movie is incredible and terrible.
Yeah.
It's brilliant and impossible to enjoy.
That's such a succinct way of saying it, and I completely agree.
The only thing that I genuinely, without being funny, the only thing that I genuinely enjoyed about this movie was I thought it had one of the best endings of all time. That's not true. I want to take that back. I thought it had a great ending. I thought the ending was spot on. And to me, the ending saved the movie, where I did not feel like I had wasted my 2 hours and 15 minutes, unlike some of our listeners. I didn't feel like it was a waste of time. I feel like the ending salvaged the entire movie for me.
Yeah, I think the ending... I was expecting something drastic like that to happen. So at the end, we're in spoilers, so we can talk about it. The end, there's finally a positive payoff to all the crap, horrible decisions of the movie. And it seems like the brother-in-law gangster is kind of happy with the results. Adam Sandler is going to get the big payoff. It's all going to be good. And then the mobster's mob man just shoots him in the head.
I did not see that coming.
I didn't. I thought, honestly, I thought something was going to happen to the basketball game. Like, either someone was going to kill the basketball player, he was going to break a leg, or something was going to happen there. Something drastic.
Kill Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Here's what I thought. I thought the three guys that were trapped in the store with him, I thought they were all going to be on the same page and be like, okay, well, you know, you're an asshole, but... you know, you got our money and this is actually really great. And like, thank God we can all move forward. And the guys at the casino watching the girl were going to still think that she was the enemy and kill her.
Right.
Like, I thought she was cooked. Yeah. And somehow that something bad, like it was too late to make it stop and, you know, whatever. But I thought the actual ending of him getting shot in the head and the brother-in-law getting shot and her getting away with all the money was 1,000 times more satisfying than what I thought was going to happen.
Right.
I thought it was wonderful.
Oh, this movie was so hard to watch.
I hated this movie.
They're just, everyone is yelling at all times and they're yelling over top of each other. And it just, like, I had my head hurt. And I felt like there was some really cool, there could have been some really cool badass lines in this movie. And I think they were even in there, but they were just being yelled over top of someone. So you missed it.
So let me ask you this. This is the question that I was trying to wrestle with. Was Adam Sandler good in this?
Yes.
He was incredible, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's not, I think this movie is exactly as intended.
Yeah.
And it is a mess and it hurts your head and that's exactly as intended. Like, I think I think what they went out to do is they were like, let's make this as real as possible. These type of people would yell and scream over each other.
Right.
That does not make good film. But it is incredibly realistic.
Well, I tell you one part of filmmaking of this, like if you want to look at this like a film critic, the scene where Garnett is stuck in that little entryway. He has,
yeah.
It's Garnett, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Adam Sandler is so happy to see him. And it's so like, at that particular point in the movie, it's like such a relief. Like, oh, thank God he's here. But then they can't buzz him into the store. And the tension in that scene to get Garnett out of that little cubbyhole or whatever you call it. That was brilliant filmmaking. I mean, that was an incredible scene because you're sweating, you're dying. Please get this guy who's like 100 feet tall, you know, and his gigantic bodyguards, and they're all squeezed in that little room. Like, please get him out, you know, like finally, every good thing that happens throughout that movie is like, it's like you drowned in a frozen over pond and you find a little space between the water and the ice and you can just like get like one little gasp of air, you know, because the whole movie is bad thing, bad thing, bad thing, bad thing, good thing. And this one particular good thing, he can't get the door open.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant filmmaking.
I think I really got upset when he gets paid and he has enough money. The movie could have ended with him getting paid for the gem.
Yeah.
And he's like, gonna bet it all.
Yeah.
And he's got the mobsters
right
outside
his
door.
He's looking at them on the screen. It's crazy.
Why would... the movie. It made me so mad. Here's the thing. I don't understand why... our good friend Swanee saw it 400 times, or some other people have said that. Didn't Pirate Dave say he saw it twice?
Pirate Dave loved it.
Yeah. I mean, as an art,
I think that's
art piece, I think I get it.
I think the kid, because the listener you're talking about, Swanee, youngster, I think he's 18 years old. I think from a, like when you're younger, I don't think the screaming bothers you. Is that part of it?
Are we too old?
I think so. I think that's a piece of it.
We're almost we haven't even reached our prime yet.
I know. I'm just getting warmed up. If I was half the man I was 30 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. And plus, if you're into sports, it's fun seeing Kevin Garnett.
Maybe
I mean,
it's the sports.
That
thing was
really cool. Like, that was awesome. And
I would not have known he was a real athlete. I'm 110%. To me, that could have just been an actor and a made up guy.
I don't even know with you. I don't even know. I don't know. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
He was a really believable made-up basketball guy.
Yeah, you would almost believe that he was one of the greatest basketball players of our time. Yeah.
Hey, he's no Muggsy Bugs.
No, that's for sure. Everybody knows that. He's no Johnny Depp. One more thing we need to talk about before we move on from this movie.
Okay.
and I know it comes up in our listeners' notes, but I need to include it in our review.
Okay.
I almost left. Well, I did leave a couple times because I couldn't take the screaming. I took a lot of times if I have to go to the bathroom or refill my coffee while I'm watching a movie, I sprint out to the lobby, refill my coffee, sprint back and hustle like I'm with a purpose.
Yeah.
I walked out of this movie to go refill my coffee and there was somebody in the lobby and I, hey, how you doing? You know, oh yeah, no, yeah. Do you have a nice weekend? Oh, that's good. Yeah. You know, they get my coffee and wander back down the hall, look at a movie poster on my way. Like I was in no rush. The movie was so disturbing and hard to watch that I was in no rush to get back to it.
Wow.
The only reason why I wanted to get back to it is because I wanted to see what was going to happen.
Wow.
But that's not what I wanted to mention. The first time that I almost walked out, the opening sequence, I mean, that music.
Oh, yeah.
And the, oh, you're killing me.
Yeah. It was harsh.
It was like... It was like the soundtrack from a movie you'd watch in school in 1978. You know what I mean?
I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah. Well, they nailed it.
Yeah.
Job well done. Kudos to you, my friend.
We had some people leave during our viewing.
Really?
There were some teenage types separated. I guess they got seats late or whatever. Although they... Seats were already taken when we chose ours, so but whatever. They were separated by a group of people, and they were just texting each other. And someone said, hey, your light's really distracting. Can you turn that off? And then kid just got up and got his girlfriend who was sitting far away and just left. So,
was that you that told him his light was distracting?
No. And he was sitting right next to me, and it was.
Yeah.
But like I was just holding my peace.
Did you know what we never talked about?
What's that?
The beginning of Star Wars, when you and I saw it together in IMAX, the girl that was about 8 or 9 rows in front of us with the Christmas lights hat, you didn't notice?
I don't know if I didn't notice that.
Oh, she must have been out of your line of sight because she was wearing a Christmas hat with Christmas bulbs that light up, like a battery power, like actual light up.
Yeah.
And I guess she must not have realized that it was still on when the movie, like... Because the lights went down, the trailers, lights went down, and then they dimmed the whole way. And I was like, oh, I was thinking to myself, oh, my God. Like, this is not going to work.
Did she turn them off?
And then during the last trailer, she turned them off. Somebody, I don't know if she realized it or somebody said something or whatever, but it was funny. God bless her.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So should we read this listener comment during the spoilers?
Yeah, that's a perfect segue. Okay.
All right, so we're going to get into listener comments here, but we're still in spoilers because this is part of Uncut Gems. LOL Jamie, longtime listener, long time since she wrote in. This is more like it.
What the hell? Where have you been?
Where have you been?
Come we're on, still LOL doing Jamie. This show, even though she doesn't write us anymore.
I know. She still listens. I know she listens. She says, Uncut Gems, one word for the movie.
Wait, what's the one word? Loud?
Nope.
Crazy?
No.
Insane?
No.
Hit me.
No. The movie is, the word is no.
No.
She says, 3 characters in 30 minutes of the movie. Wasn't even needed. Totally wasted. And here's her quote.
Wait. Hold the quote. It's a good one. If you're listening to this, you want to, don't go away. This is a good quote. It's a brilliant quote. But before we get to that quote, I don't want to gloss over a comment that she made that I think is spot on.
Okay.
The characters and minutes that were totally irrelevant to the plot, which leads me to say something crazy. I kind of want to see this movie again.
What?
You know what I mean? I mean, she makes a really good point, and I kind of want to watch the movie just so I can, like, take a tally of characters that end up being irrelevant.
I would watch this movie again if I had more control over my environment. Like, if I was in a situation where I could either communicate with someone or just, like, sit back with, like, more snacks or...
So, in other words, at home.
Yeah, at home. Yeah, just I need to be in an environment where I can make myself more relaxed.
I would also turn the volume down.
Yes.
Watch it by myself with low volume.
Yeah. It's just too loud and too intense. And
okay, so Jamie has this great quote, which you're about to read. She wrote in, the one word from the movie is no.
Right.
characters and time wasted. And then here's her brilliant quote.
Yeah. Every character talks simultaneously. You know how songbirds hidden away in trees can make a sunny Sunday morning even more beautiful? Well, this was more like a murder of crows roosting on top of your house during a hailstorm.
A murder of crows roosting on top of your house during a hailstorm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And kudos to Jamie.
Yeah.
For the correct use of the word murder.
That's right.
In this case, it sort of is perfect because murder calls to mind such a violent, you know, right. image. And yet a group of crows is known correctly as a murder of crows.
Right. What do you call it when one crow shows up and the other one doesn't make it?
I give up.
Attempted murder.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on. We had a good run. We almost made it a year. That's pretty good. That's longer than anybody thought.
Yeah. So she ends it. She says, hey, don't see this movie. Spend your time reading Dune instead.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was right at the end.
Was it right there at the end?
Yeah, it was. You know, you didn't finish reading it. Right.
That's not what I do best. The reading.
Reading. All right, so we're out of spoilers. Welcome to listener feedback. We got started in this section. If you passed over for the spoiler stuff, because there was Uncut Gems reviews and comments. So now, listeners, comments, feedback, answers, suggestions, and so much more.
I felt like this was a very supportive week.
Yeah.
There was a number of people that made me feel better about myself. For example, Black Bumper Becky wrote in and made me feel good for having started and stopped Dune so many times and having started and completed other books prior to digging into Dune.
You haven't started Dune, though.
No, I know, but...
Theoretically.
I could have.
Yeah, okay.
You don't know.
A good point. Oh, I mean, I would know.
If you would quit asking me direct questions, I could lead you to believe. Have you read Dune? No.
No.
Have you started? No.
No.
I thought it was interesting. We made comment last week about the lengthy episode.
Yeah. No, wait. Finish with Becky. You done with Becky?
Yeah.
Okay. But I want to take this one.
Okay.
You ever have a friend?
No.
Yeah, okay. You ever know people who have had friends?
Yeah, I hear of this.
Yeah. Right? And they're all buddy-buddy, right? But then, I don't know, life happens or
sure,
whatever.
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden, you don't hear from a friend for a while.
Yeah, that's all right.
Right?
It happens.
Yeah. But then this friend comes back and
writes into your podcast
and starts acting like everything's handy dandy. It hasn't been
what?
Like 6 weeks since you heard from him.
What?
You ever had that happen?
It sounds awful.
So anyway, Mystery Gobble wrote in.
Is that just, that's just some kind of knock on Black Bumpers, right?
Well, that's a knock on Mystery Gobble, who we haven't heard from in like ages.
Okay.
You know?
All right, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He used to be as reliable as Pirate Dave.
He was right there.
And now he's...
I have to defend him. I have to defend his honor a little bit. Just
you
for a moment.
To.
I feel like I see Mystery Gobble out and about.
Oh.
So maybe he feels like he's saying...
He verbally tells you.
Maybe, yeah.
See, that's what happens. Chris Hall Productions will just talk to me. And
yeah.
I said, just write into the show. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to you.
like, think how much little we could interact if you didn't talk to me.
There's that great scene in Ocean's 12 where Brad Pitt is asleep on the plane and Matt Damon comes back. And says, I think I could do more. I could be more involved. And they have this whole conversation about how Matt Damon wants a bigger role. I forget his character's name. But anyway, Brad Pitt, whose character is Rusty. Rusty says, Matt Damon says, I'm really glad we came back here. Because then we wouldn't have had this conversation. And Rusty goes, I would have been still asleep. And Matt Damon gives him the thumbs up, like totally missing the point. Like, right into the show. And then I would never have to talk to you. Anyway, we love the Mystery Govel, and we love Pirate Dave, and I think it's interesting that both of them shared a very similar, well, almost pretty much the same comment.
And that is, when we get a little bit long-winded, they're not afraid to speed the show up. They still want to hear the whole thing.
Right.
As Pirate Dave was like 1.5 speed. Mystery Gobble was like full on two
times. Full on two times.
And I thought it was funny. Both of them said we sound like we're really high on our own supply when we laugh at high speed.
Well, the one said we sound like stoned chipmunks.
That's it, yeah.
And the other said, as an added benefit, you can breeze right over the dad jokes.
Who would want to?
I think...
Who would do that?
Shocking. I feel like if I was listening to this on a high speed and I heard the dad jokes, I would want to stop it.
Rewind.
And replay them in slow speed.
Well, maybe from now on we just need to...
Yeah, if I hear about you bitches listening really to us on 2 and 3 speed, I'm going to start slowing it down.
Oh, they can't handle... what we're bringing to the table.
Right, if this is too much for you, I'm sorry.
What we need to do is find out the max speed you can turn it up to. And then have it,
slow it down by that.
So you have to listen to it at that speed.
You know what else was another really nice note?
What's that?
The Shadow.
Oh, The Shadow.
A shout out?
Yeah. And he said, Happy New Year to all the listeners from The Shadow.
Yeah, The Shadow knows.
And what other big news he had going on?
The Shadow is going to Ireland.
Studying abroad.
And he's going to bring the show with him.
Yeah.
So we'll get some Irish downloads.
That's what I'm saying.
I think in 2020, we should change our tagline. Instead of never let the truth get in the way of a good story, we should be the International Penn Cinema Podcast. The Penn Cinema International Podcast.
Oh.
Now that we're fancy and all.
Yeah.
Ding.
Pinkies out around the world.
Although... this is not our first international download by any stretch.
No.
We got listeners in Germany.
Yeah.
We got listeners in Czech.
Right.
Dublin.
Canada. Right. But not...
Jersey.
Not Washington, where someone's brother lives.
Yeah. Now, someone's brother will be arriving stateside.
What?
In Lancaster County next week. So we will have words.
It's going down.
I'm yelling timber.
You're like a pit bull in this place.
So anyway, thank you to The Shadow for his kind words. And also one last note. We got a very nice note from Chayla, who was enjoying the show and was so happy to hear us promoting or positively talking about Little Women. But I do want to say, like, I thought it was interesting and – I didn't really pick up on it until she commented. She was saying how she was listening to an NPR story about Little Women, about how men were not going to go see it. Mm. Men were opposed to it or not. That's probably too strong of a word, but how they just weren't seeing it. It was being labeled a chick flick. I watched this movie with my girls and Amy, and first of all, we all loved it. I cried like a baby, and this movie is incredible. And I don't know. I feel like the use of the word chick flick carries a lot of baggage with it, but that's no reason not to see a movie. Like I just have I think it's dumb.
Yeah.
If you're going to limit yourself to not, if you're a guy and you're going to not see movies because you think they're a chick flick, you're missing out on all kinds of good movies. One of my favorite movies of all time is Moonstruck. And you wouldn't be totally wrong to label that a chick flick.
Right.
But it's an amazing movie. It's one of my favorite. It's in my top three all-time movies.
Stars Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah. No. This one has Johnny Depp.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, Cher slaps Johnny Depp and says, snap out of it.
Snap out of it.
Anyway, thank you for writing in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's
a little bit of listener feedback I got in person. From the Ketchum Familia, when I was walking in today. They just saw Bombshell.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yes.
Well, first off, I see them all out there. I'm like, hey. They're all like Fonzie-ing me. Like, hey. And I'm like, what's going on? What'd you see? You know,
they were,
you guys see a movie? And
the morning prior to recording this podcast, my family with, you know, extended family, a whole gang, was here watching Bombshell.
And I said, oh, what'd you guys see? And Bob said, no, we just hanging around. They just come here to hang out.
Right.
No. So they saw Bombshell. I said, what'd you think? And all the women said, we want to punch a man.
Find a man and punch him.
Yeah, and I said, well, Penn's upstairs.
Thanks, David.
No problem.
Yeah, appreciate that. You're there for me.
Yeah. So anyway.
My second Full House quote, by the way.
they really liked it. So apparently Bombshell is pretty good.
Bombshell is great. And sure. Did we not review it? It must have come out the same week as something else.
Yeah, I don't think we did. I thought you think you said you saw it.
I did see it. It's great. It makes you angry. Whether you're a woman angry at the awful men in this movie, I'm angry at the awful men in this movie. But there's another element that is equally disturbing, which is the degree to which our news is controlled by such a small handful of billionaires.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And I know the movie's about Fox News, but I just feel like it's not just about Fox. It's about all kinds of other news outlets that are controlled by the super rich. Crazy. Crazy.
All right.
What are you watching?
What are we watching? What are we reading? What are we doing? I had like a busy week, and then I looked back and I was like, dang, I did some things, you know? I started watching Watchmen. Have you checked it out yet?
No.
So it takes place after the comic and not the movie, which is confusing. And I wasn't digging it.
Can I just say, this is not related to Watchmen.
Yeah.
This is just a general comment. I don't know if anybody else feels the same way I do. I'm totally satiated. I'm like, I can't have another must-see franchise announced or released. Or like, I can't.
I'm not investing myself into anything unless it's done at this point. Like, if I can help it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I don't want to put my time into something and then be waiting for the next episode. There's too many things to watch.
Right.
And that'll just like leave me stagnant waiting for the next thing to come out because I won't want to watch something else.
Right.
So, the full season has to be out at a time. So I started watching Watchmen. Wasn't too thrilled. Watched two episodes. The end of the second episode, the very last scene, something happens and I was like, crap. Now I want to know what happens.
Yeah.
And I hate it. So I may watch another episode. I don't know. I rewatched the Moulin Rouge, one of those classics that I really enjoy.
One of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, God, so tragic.
I've had
the beautiful
music stuck in my head, and so great. And I'm reading Crown of Midnight by Sarah J. Maas, which I'm actually really enjoying. It's the second book in the Throne of Glass series. And I went out and got some culture this week.
Oh.
I know. Big news. I went to the Philly Art Museum yesterday and just arted it up. This art, that art.
The other art.
All the art, the up art, the down art. I'm farty arty.
I'm not going to tell you my art joke, my arty joke. I think you heard it the other night. Because we don't have enough time.
We don't have time. We wanted to keep this under 3 hours.
But if you ever see me in person, especially the later at night it is, the better the joke is. I have a joke about Arthur. It's a good one. Everyone laughs.
It's great.
It's brilliant. Takes a solid 5 minutes to tell it right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what have you been doing?
I watched the Mr. Rogers movie, A Beautiful Day. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Yeah. Tom Hanks one.
Tom Hanks, first of all, he has my vote for, I think he's actually nominated as Best Supporting Actor.
Okay.
He's incredible. This is such an important movie. Like I feel like it just sort of struck so many important things. Like, it's just a beautiful movie. It has a beautiful message.
Yeah.
It's not all lovey-dovey. I mean, it is a little bit, but it's a powerful movie. And I just, to be honest, here's what happened. I put together one morning a trailer package with like 8 or 9 trailers on them because I wanted to watch them.
Yeah.
And I put it on in the front of Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. So I watched all these trailers and then I was like, oh, well, I'll just sit here and finish my coffee and watch this movie for a little while. I'll get a sense of it, you know? And I couldn't stop watching it. I watched the entire movie. I loved it. It was powerful. It was tear jerking. I wasn't sobbing, crying the way I was in Little Women, but it was powerful. It's a powerful, emotional movie and just beautiful and really gave me an appreciation for Mr. Rogers, which I had not previously given it.
Really?
I also saw Little Women. I think we talked about that a little while ago. Mm-hmm. This movie made me cry. This movie was beautiful. This movie's easily in my top 10. Might be in my top 5. But we'll get that to later. And the big news,
yeah.
I had a nice visit with my parents in New York City, but the reason why I was in New York City was to celebrate the 50th birthday of my lifelong friend, Kyle Decker. Shout out to Kyle.
What's up, Kyle?
Scoopus. That was his nickname. Scoop. Oh. Scoop. Yep.
Scoopus.
We both had the exact same. We called each other Scoop.
Nice.
True story. Nice. So it was great to see him. I can't believe he's turning 50 because I'm still like in my early
20s.
Yeah. You know, I'm soon going to be turning 40 here. It's wild how we were in first grade together,
yeah.
separated by 10 years, but
it's
you know,
insane.
Shit happens.
Wow.
It's remarkable.
He was
16.
We won't figure out who was. All right. Well,
I mean, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying he drove himself to first grade. That's all I'm going to say. Put that out there.
Still in first grade, but they let him have a license.
Right. He got married when we're in third grade.
Oh, man. Well, this brings us to the end, but we got things to look forward to, such as our live show January 19th at Zootropolis Stillhouse, 1:30 to 3:30. You're going to want to be there. It's a free event.
So fun.
Come out, get some food, have some laughs, you know.
Have some drinks. Sunday afternoon.
It's going to be fun.
It's going really it's a fun coincidence that it's right before the Oscar nominations come out.
Right.
So it'll be fun to talk about that. We're going to talk about our best and worst of 2019 and what we're most excited for 2020, which the more I look at 2020, the more, like, all kidding aside, 2019 was so dominated by Avengers and Star Wars, you know, and 2020 is going to be a good, solid, consistent year. I can't wait.
Yeah. If you are... if you've got a nickname, because you write in, I want to see you there, and we want to talk to you on the show. We want to hear your number one movie of the year and your last number movie of the year.
The best and worst.
Best and worst.
And what you're most looking forward to in 2020.
Yeah, so we want to have you talk to us for a little bit. So we want to see you there. Make sure you come. Let us know that you're going to be there. We'll make plans to talk to you. So,
two other little things to talk about.
Yeah.
This coming week, what are we going to watch? 1917, I assume.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I mean, I'm stoked for that movie.
And just so that we're all on the same page, how we feel about 1917 goes into the 2019 list, right?
I would, because technically it came out in 2019.
Right. Yeah.
So.
We'll talk more about that.
Yeah, we're going to have to argue about that.
And then the other thing I wanted to comment, what was the other? I forgot.
Oh my gosh.
It was just a little bit.
Wow. All right, so 1917 next week. Of course, you can always get in touch with us with your answers, your questions, your comments at podcast@penncinema.com. That's the best way to get in touch with us. Facebook.com/thePennCinemaPodcast. Another great place for all our funny memes, all our little like back and forth comments with people. We love to see people making stuff happen over there.
Send us an email to an answer of a question we didn't ask.
Right.
No one's done that yet.
Yeah. Tell a friend. That's the best way you can help the show. Come up to your buddy and say, hey, you like movies?
And the best way you can help your friend is to not tell your friend.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
but if you're like us and you like to torment your friends,
yeah.
then definitely get them started listening to this show.
Right, right. I mean,
because why should they be get away scot-free without having to listen to this? Yeah.
If I had to do it,
right.
then you got to do it, all right?
Dirty bastard.
So, once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.